Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
1-2. He struck him out. And the White Sox win 12-8. Your mean Mercedes. He had one hit. He kept the ball. He got an RBI. He kept the ball. He might as well just pack up the entire game and keep this for himself.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. David Hall with Bruce Levine here for another hour until 11 o'clock talking baseball. That was... thank you to NBC Sports Chicago, Jason Benetti, talking about the first major league start for Yermin Mercedes after 617 minor league games. He gets five hits last night for the White Sox. They get their first victory. The Cubs go after their first win of the season later today. Here on the score, Jake Arrieta on the mound, 12:45 pregame with Zach Zaidman, Bruce. And there's a lot going on in Chicago baseball. There's a lot going on around the league. I wanted to, we'll get to all of it. 312-644-6767 if you have a thought. Big move yesterday from the commissioner's office, Bruce. Rob Manfred acted in a way that was strong, swift, and decisive. The more you hear about it, the more you learn that this was more Rob Manfred as much as it was him polling the owners, polling the players in the Players Association. But he responded to what went on this week in Georgia, where there were a series of sweeping changes in voting laws that disproportionately affect black voters. And Major League Baseball's response to that was to lead from the front and to move the All-Star Game out of Atlanta. So the All-Star Game that was supposed to be played in Atlanta in July will now be moved elsewhere. And I think there are two things that people might have opinions on. Certainly people are going to have their points of view on what this means for Major League Baseball, whether or not that should be something Rob Manfred should be doing. I thought it was, my own opinion, a strong, decisive move from a guy who we don't typically see strong, decisive moves from. But secondly, and I think from the local context, Bruce, you wonder now, we know that Jerry Reinsdorf has wanted an All-Star game for a while. Could this be coming to Chicago this summer?
I don't really think so. There's a possibility. I think the Cubs are in line to get an All-Star game before the White Sox. White Sox had one, I believe, in 2003, if I'm not mistaken. The Cubs have not had one since 1990. knowing the pandemic situation in Chicago, although the numbers have gotten better in the state, numbers are ticking up a little bit. So I don't know if Lori Lightfoot and the and Governor Pritzker would even want it in Chicago at this point until everybody has been given an inoculation and they feel the numbers are going the other way. I think it would be a difficult sell right now in Chicago. Nonetheless, it's going to another city. I don't know if it's Milwaukee. I don't know if it's Washington. Washington just had one, but there'd be some symmetry in that. It's a strange dynamic right now, David, because normally these things are given a year and a half in advance, and there's a lot of buildup to a city getting the All-Star game, getting everything set as far as advertisers, as far as hotels, as far as different venues that are going to be used. It's a huge windfall of somewhere between $175 and $200 million for a city hosting an All-Star game. But nonetheless, I just don't know if Chicago is ready for it.
And typically, Bruce, you know, when you see a decision like this, curious to what you think about Rob Manfred in terms of you see moves made that will be controversial and will have a lot of ripple effects. They pull ownership. They talk to their peers around the league, and they gauge the opinions of the Players Association. From what the stories say and the reporting surrounding this decision was that Rob Manfred finalized this call before the announcement, but after a call with his executive council, which was only 8 owners, he didn't necessarily wait for a consensus to be created. He talked to players, ex-players, such as Curtis Granderson, etc. But this seemed to be Rob Manfred taking advantage of the power that the commissioner of a sport can take advantage of when he feels it's appropriate, and he clearly felt this was appropriate. And for Rob Manfred, I think that came as a surprise to many people. I'm not sure that I thought he had it. I did not think he had it in him, but I do think that it's one of these moves that if Adam Silver makes this for the NBA, you're not surprised. Rob Manfred doing this surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, again, it's so political that, you know, taking a side on this by a big sport like MLB is sometimes surprising, but it's not unprecedented. It's been done in the NFL. It's been done in the NBA. So, you saying that Rob taking charge on this and listening to what the players have to say, what the people have to say, what baseball's objective is as a sport and as an entity representing all people, it's a strong statement by Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball. You're not going to get everybody to agree that it's the right statement, but you are going to see them moving forward with this because they feel this is what Major League Baseball represents.
Yeah, back in 1991, you referenced the NFL. The NFL owners voted to move the Super Bowl from Phoenix after Arizona failed to acknowledge Martin Luther King Day as a federal holiday. So there is precedent in the sport for statements like this. It just has been a while before. I think, you know, and maybe I'm being unfair to Rob Manfred, but I guess the level of my surprise was as interesting as anything in regard to the decision made. And so we'll see where the All-Star game lands, Bruce. But look, that was the big story around the sport yesterday, this being opening day for all other, you know, teams around the league. Anything stand out to you? Anything that you're waiting to see in terms of a trend emerge? We have talked a little bit about, you know, the baseball and how it's supposed to be either a deader baseball or more live baseball. What are they going to do to the baseball, Bruce, and how tightly wound it is? And what do you expect in the way of more or less home runs this year?
Well, you know, from all indications, home runs, you know, I think Arizona hit 4-1 inning on opening day. You know, I don't see where the home runs are necessarily down yet. Supposedly, the new ball that we're dealing with is going to limit somewhere between 4 to 6 feet on hits. And people will say, well, that's not very much. And if a ball is well struck, it might not have that much impact. But, you know, think, you know, in your mind's eye, think a little bit, David, about home runs that you've seen over the last 2 or 3 years, and how many really did go into the first three or four rows. I think a lot of them went into the first three or four rows. And if this kind of limits the ability to hit a home run for everybody, and it changes the mindset of organizations, hitting coaches, players, to go to more of the Joe Maddon idea of lining balls to the gaps and being more of a line drive team, a contact team for Major League Baseball. I think that's the incentive here. I think everybody still loves home runs. You're going to see a lot of home runs, but changing the mindset of organizations and players, I think, is really what this is all about, to go back and say, hey, we value the 290 hitter. We value the double and the triple. We value full contact and less strikeouts. I don't think we've seen less strikeouts yet. I think we've seen double-digit strikeouts in both games from both teams, the Angels and the White Sox, and the Cubs and the Pirates. You know, double digits.
Yeah, the Cubs opener was more of the same. It's 13 strikeouts. That's a team that needs a new approach. That's a team that needs to look like it is fixed after being broken for too long.
It won't happen overnight. It just won't happen overnight because you don't have the players at this level who got here with that philosophy. The philosophy they've taught is the uppercut swing, you know, the launch angle, and, you know, praising 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, a .220 batting average, and 170 strikeouts. That is where we're at as a sport in baseball, and it's going to take some time to change.
What did you think of Theo Epstein, who is now in a role as a consultant to Major League Baseball, and it came out this week about his idea of moving the mound back somewhat and that the implications and how that would change the game and improve the sport in his mind? What was your first reaction to that, Bruce?
Well, that the next move would be to throw the ball underhand. You have to underhand the ball. Okay. I mean, that is too big of a stretch for me. I'm sorry. You're not changing what's been Major League Baseball since 1900. Now, there were different places where the mound was before the 1900s, and, you know, it moved a little bit here and there. But to limit offense by, you know, pushing the pitcher further back, I mean, you know, you're changing. Not only are you trying to change the outcome, but what are you doing to pitchers' arms who are not used to anything but 60 feet, 6 inches? What type of injuries are you opening up yourself to when you present something like this? I think that is just wildly, you know, to me, unacceptable way of controlling offense for Major League Baseball. Theo's one of the smartest guys I've ever met in the game. I respect the hell out of him, and I think he has tremendous ideas. This is not one of them.
So if people are wondering what the heck are you talking about, Theo Epstein articulated it in an interview with The Athletic by saying that he wanted to move, or suggested considering moving the mound back like a foot. So if you move the mound back a foot, and you would give hitters, in Theo's mind, an extra 100th of a second to react. And according to him, that 100th of a second corresponds to basically like a tick and a half of velocity, which would sort of mean that you're restoring velocity to where it was maybe 8 to 10 years ago, when the contact rate was a bit higher, the strikeout rate was a little bit more under control, and it certainly would be a worthwhile experiment. I tend to agree with you, Bruce. I don't know that you want to do that. I think that almost seems a little bit too radical.
Why are you punishing the pitcher for being as good as he is? Isn't it up to the hitter and the hitting instructors and the organizations to teach a different form of hitting, to sign and develop different type of hitters, to welcome back the guy that's 5'7 and 170 pounds because he can do what Nick Madrigal can do, and that is make contact all the time? I'm not saying the game should be 100% those guys. You still want the guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. You still want guys that hit it with authority into the gaps. But let's start playing the game the way that it always was represented, as far as making contact first and then considering the outcome afterwards. That, to me, it's backwards by punishing the pitcher.
Bruce, do you think the Cubs' issues, in which have become somewhat chronic in missing the ball, basically striking out too much, and the contact rate and all the things that have limited them in the last several years, do you think that's ability or approach? Because, or is it a combination of both?
Well, look, Theo has admitted that he is part of the problem along with the other great minds in the game by coming up with defensive shifts that have limited guys. Like Anthony Rizzo came into the league, I thought, as a 300 hitter. Nobody, I think he's the poster child for guys that have been impacted by a defensive shift, where an infielder can play short right field, you know, some 40 feet in front of the outfielder and throw a guy out at first base on what normally was a base hit, but now is ball into the outfield. That, you know, that those shifts have changed the game dramatically. And, you know, kudos to the people that came up with them. Kudos to the minds that, you know, have limited that type of hitting. But those are true base hits in the old part of baseball, you know, old being 6, 7, 8 years ago and before that. Those are no longer base hits. Those are ground outs, because you have a lumbering guy moving down first base and is thrown out from 80 feet away by a second baseman.
And Bruce, just to close the loop on some of these league-wide issues that strike us as interesting this week as baseball returned, every time I see a pitcher bat so far, whether it's on the MLB Network or watching the Cubs or whatever in the National League, I cringe, because I'm like, why did they not take care of this? Why, if Rob Manfred was going to get in the mood to make emphatic statements, couldn't he have also declared the National League use a designated hitter this year? Because I think that is something that is long overdue.
It unfortunately has to be negotiated.
I know.
Through the CBA.
I know.
And you're right, David. You can't go backwards in this sport. I was always a National League guy. I always said the pitchers should hit, but not over the last 3 or 4 years, not after last year, and not more importantly, there's no player on the field more important than your starting pitcher and keeping him healthy. This is, after a year off, you are tempting the fates of the baseball fates out there by putting pitchers back out there to do something that wasn't really quite natural to them before and not at all a part of their game last year. So to me, this is a huge mistake. It's a big step backwards. And when we see a pitcher get hurt, either swinging the bat or running the bases for the first time, it's going to cause a lot of people pause, because of the fact that we saw it in spring training with Hendricks tripping over the bat.
Oh, you know, imagine that, Bruce. Imagine if Kyle Hendricks,
you're done.
Your season is compromised. Your future is ruined as far as the season goes. If you lose your ace because of the way that he's stretching out, trying to beat out a ground ball in spring training, goodness sakes. And it wasn't like he was doing anything out of the ordinary. It just was the instinctive response to trying to see that. And like, okay, every kid who's ever played Little League Baseball is going to try to stretch out and beat the throw. And then he falls and like, oh, my gosh, I hope he's okay. And he was okay. But next time, who knows?
Here, David, we have pitchers, and then we have baseball athletes. Pitchers, unfortunately, do not fall into that territory anymore. They can feel their position and do it well. They can pitch, but they are not hitters. And I don't think anybody really wants pitchers to try to pretend that they're hitters any longer. And if you want to solve some offensive issues, you certainly want the DH in the National League now. And again, I was the last guy to agree on that. Mm-hmm. But over the last few years, just the importance of starting pitching and the aesthetics of the game, you don't want pitchers hitting any longer.
And Bruce, before we break, our fine producer Sean Anderson unearthed this tweet from Governor J.B. Pritzker, because we asked a question about whether or not Chicago would want to be in the mix for the All-Star game now that it is being moved out of Atlanta after Rob Manfred's announcement on Friday. And Governor J.B. Pritzker tweeted out last night, "I applaud MLB's decision to move the All-Star game out of Georgia because of its restrictive voting laws, and our baseball stadiums are among the most storied in the world. We would welcome..." We, meaning Illinois, meaning Chicago, meaning either Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field. "We would welcome the All-Star game safely and enthusiastically. So the governor of the state of Illinois on board for that movement, Bruce. If
I say 4.5 innings at guaranteed rate and 4.5 innings at Wrigley Field. We make it a day-night all-star game. It's a 24-hour event.
You are an innovator, Bruce. You are definitely. That would be a great idea. Everyone, load up on the L in your uniforms.
I think a lot of people are using different words to describe me right now.
Absolutely. Okay, when we come back, we have a special guest. Looking forward to talking to Rick Giolito, the father of Lucas Giolito. We are here until 11 o'clock talking baseball with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
2-2. And he swung through it, strike three. That was the baffling changeup that addles so many hitters on 1-2. He struck him out. Otani off a changeup, and Lucas has the old combo working here in the first. He struck him out. A changeup that was just flat out dazzling.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I'm David Haw with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. And that was the voice of Jason Benetti calling the pitches of the ace of the White Sox on opening night, Lucas Giolito. Lucas Giolito was dominant in stretches and the pitcher that everyone has seen many times in a White Sox uniform and the guy we expect to see throughout the course of this season. And we know somebody who has seen him be that dominant before throughout growing up out in California. We're pleased to welcome now to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. That is where we find the father of Lucas Giolito. Rick Giolito joins us here on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Rick. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you, guy? How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. I suppose that, in a nutshell, we're curious on just how we know how Chicago interpreted Lucas's first start. How much fun was it to see what he did on opening night from a parent's perspective?
Well, it was crazy, you know. You know, we're always trepidatious. I get a high level of anxiety anytime he takes the mound. You know, there's guys with bats at the other side, and he's throwing the ball, you know, and I'm like, just any dad. And I want to see him do well. And when he struck out the first three guys, I was like, oh, boy, he's on.
Rick, first and foremost, congratulations to you and your wife for raising a gentleman. In my group, they're called mensches, okay? Because this is a wonderful, great communicator and a guy that hears every word that you say when you talk to him, first and foremost. So from the perspective of being a media guy dealing with your son every day, it's a pleasure dealing with him. You and your wife, Lindsay, get all the credit for that. That said, When did you first see the athletic ability of your son, and when did you first think that there was a possibility he could be a professional at what he loved doing the best?
Well, you know, Lindsay nicknamed him Tigger as a kid because he was just moving all the time. I mean, that kid never stopped moving and sweating. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, you know, we did the thing every parent does. You know, we put him in T-ball and let him go out and have some fun. And, you know, when he was, I got to say, maybe 9 or 10, you know, he grew like a string bean. He was bigger than most of the other kids. And he threw the ball really hard. He hurt a couple of kids, you know. I mean, he threw it so hard. And, you know, in Little League, they wear those Little League gloves and the thumbs, you know. Kids don't really know how to catch. And he broke a couple of thumbs. It was unfortunate. And then he hit a kid in the ear, you know, in the ear and sent him to the hospital. And we're like, oh, my goodness, you know. And so when he was 9, we had to move him up because he was just throwing too hard, and he didn't know where it was going. But he had told us when he was 7 years old, he had decided that he wanted to be a professional baseball player. And like any parent, you know, we go, great, wonderful, you do that, you know. and he just kept going. And, you know, he never had good control, but it wasn't until he was probably 13 years old. I mean, he just threw so hard. And, you know, high school started getting interested in him. And Coach LaCour at Harvard Westlake, you know, contacted me and said, you know, we'd be, if you can, you might want, you know, would you consider applying to the school? And we were like, oh, really? You know, because we were going to send him to Santa Monica High School, Harvard Westlake out in Studio City is a tremendous private school, and not easy to get into. And, you know, we had Lucas is a very, very good student, and he applied and got in, did well on his entrance tests, and, you know, pretty much sat on the bench his first year as a freshman. Played, you know, pitched a little, played a little first base, pitched a little bit. Still didn't have a tremendous amount of control. And then this young man, Ethan Katz, showed up. And Ethan, who, as you well know, is currently the team's major league pitching coach, we refer to him in this house as the pitch whisperer. And he took Lucas and, you know, taught him, you know, taught him to go from a thrower to a pitcher. And we were just amazed at you know, what Ethan did with him, shaping him. And, you know, when he was a sophomore, forget it. That's when, you know, he was throwing, my goodness, you know, in the mid-90s, schools were interested in him. I remember Coach LaCour calling me in and saying, hey, you know, he might get a college scholarship. And I went, you're kidding. That would be amazing. No, my son, can't happen. I mean, we were all amazed. There's no baseball in my family. Going back, my dad, you know about his grandfather.
Sure.
Warren, of course, who was an actor and played George Costanza's father-in-law on Seinfeld. Worked with, on many other shows, Twin Peaks. Well, his grandfather on the on my side was a two-time Olympian and two-time national champion in fencing. So I think that the genes, those athletic genes went right by me and into him, and here we are.
Here we are. Rick Giolito joining us on Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Lucas's father. And you mentioned, Rick, the Harvard-Westlake connection, and certainly must have been a proud day, not only for you, but the entire community from that school. Opening day, the mathematical possibility of this happening has got to be off the charts, but Lucas, Max Fried, Jack Flaherty, all teammates 9 years ago on the same high school team, all made opening day starts in 2021. How remarkable is that, and how much fun was it?
Well, isn't that something, huh? Who would have thunk it? Certainly, back then we weren't like sitting there. We were all hopeful as parents that these kids, they all wanted, those three guys all wanted to be professional baseball players, but never in a million years did we think that they'd all be, number ones on their respective teams opening, opening for their teams on opening day. And, it was serendipity because it wouldn't have happened except for the fact that Max's school had to shut down its athletic program over finances. But that was at Montclair Prep. And Lucas was friends with Max from all of the showcases and what have you, and living in the same area, they pitched against one another. And he went on a mission to recruit Max and convince Max to come to Harvard-Westlake. And in fact, they brought Max into Harvard-Westlake, and he got in, and they gave him all the same classes. So the two of them, the two of them could just, go around campus and do everything together, because Max was a senior and was unfamiliar. Jack was the surprise. Jack is 2 years behind them and 1 year younger. Lucas graduated as a 17-year-old, so he was pretty young. But Jack, everybody thought was going to be a shortstop. He's a tremendous athlete, a tremendous hitter, and it was actually Ethan Katz who convinced him to focus on pitching. He told him, that's your future. Boy, he was right. And not to mention, Max Fried also was a two-way player and would have been drafted as an outfielder. He was tremendous. The only guy that kept off the field was Lucas. Coach LeCour was afraid he'd hurt himself running the bases.
Rick Giolito is our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. So forget the baseball stuff. I want to know, in your home, where your wife was an actor for a long period of time, now an artist. You were an actor for a long period of time, still doing production on a video and other things. And your other son is involved in the arts. What type of TV and movie snobs you guys are when it comes to what you watch, what you don't watch, and how critical you are, what your mind's eye tells you when you watch actors in movies and television shows?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm actually a video game producer and have been. I was an actor for about 10 minutes. I know it's, people say that, that was my career. I actually was worked for Electronic Arts doing video games for 20 some odd years. It's like a busman's holiday. When you're an actor, when you're in the business and you watch something, it's very hard to watch without a critical eye. After you're out, and you watch a movie, it's simple. You just enjoy it. But yeah, you get the same thing. It's probably when you guys see somebody else interview somebody, you can't help but be, I would invest in this or that, But the kids, they watched everything and they enjoyed. Lucas is a giant film buff, so is Casey.
And, you know, we obviously had a lot of media in our home through both video games and movies. And, of course, they Lucas used to work with Lindsay on her auditions. And, you know, I can remember him. And he actually, you know, made some go with her to some auditions. But Lucas was never interested in that kind of thing. He loved baseball from a very young age, and I think he made the right choice.
So if you see a bad hairpiece on an actor or a bad wig on an actress, you guys are the first ones to say, look at that. Look at the makeup. It's not quite right. Do you guys go deep?
I ask Lindsay all the time when we're watching a movie. I ask Lindsay all the time, is that her real hair? And she'll tell me, you know, and, but, you know, look, you know, we do appreciate, you know, we have a different perspective on the film and television, having been in it, and video games for me as well, since, you know, we worked in that industry, of course. You know, we have more experience and could see it more critically. But now, you know, I just try and enjoy it, you know, for what it is.
Before we let you go, Rick, you know, in terms of the insight into Lucas, it's very interesting. The other night, I think there was, you know, they measure everything these days, and it was recorded that Lucas threw 11 of his fastest pitches in throughout his career on opening night. And it's somewhat remarkable, I guess. He keeps getting better and better, but do you have any explanation for that? Was this something that was a point of emphasis? And did that surprise you or him?
No, it didn't surprise me at all. You know, I saw it and went, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, he is getting better. He's getting, you know, stronger, more confident. Not that he lacked in any confidence, in the last 2 years, at least. But yeah, he's getting stronger. And, you know, I had talked to him. I said, you know, do you think you can, he had actually told me he was thrown 97 in spring training, which was unusual. And I said, well, when are you going to hit triple digits? He goes, that could happen. You know, the thing about it is that he doesn't need to. You know, when he was younger and when he was in high school, he regularly sat 96, 98, touch 100, 101 all the time. And that was largely due to the fact that scouts, and, you know, bunch, you know, 30 guns, and the kids throw to the gun. And in fact, it ended up hurting him. You know, he hurt himself in high school just trying to throw the ball as hard as possible. Now he's a pitcher, and he doesn't need it. I ask him that sometimes. He goes, Dad, I don't need it. You know, I got to go to, you know, it's 162 games, full season. I can't. If I went out there and threw as hard as I could every inning, every pitch, my arm would fall off. So, you know, I think all pitchers are that way. And then there are guys who naturally, you know, sit at that level and, you know, likely gifted, what have you. But I think that you're going to see his velo probably kick up again this year, simply because his mechanics are getting better. You know, he's able to repeat, you know, more solidly, and he's figured out a workout routine that works for him, and. You know, and also the adrenaline of the first day, you know. But I expect this is what you'll see this year. Who knows?
Rick, one thing
in the future.
One thing's for sure, he's not going to stop sweating. He does that better than anybody in baseball. And it's fun to watch because the camera usually gives us a close-up of him late in games, especially that
it's
great no-hitter he threw last year. And it's just like you're thinking – somebody is actually putting that water down from his head, and it's just being invented somewhere else.
Oh yeah, well it's, you know, he has mentioned it to me that it's been a problem at times because it's just running down his arm onto his hand, and you know he can't get dry. So yeah, what can you do, big guy.
Yeah. Last thing before I let you go, Rick, wondered, you mentioned Ethan Katz and his presence on the White Sox staff has got to be, when that news broke, Lucas had to be thrilled. What do you know about him that maybe we don't? We're just getting to know him. He's a very serious guy. He's a very smart guy. That's obvious anytime you talk to him. But what about Ethan Katz did you appreciate most from a parent's perspective?
Well, he's incredibly kind. That's number one. And very low-key. A tremendous listener, and he does his homework. I've never, well, you know, it's not like I hang around professional pitching coaches, but we were stunned early on with the level of detail that he brought to the table when Lucas first started working with him, tracking every pitch, making every pitch competitive, not letting, you know, the kids just go out and throw. Everything means something. And continuing that. I mean, it's very difficult. You've got a whole team of guys you've got to do that with. And he's able to somehow figure that out. And then, you know, Max, you know, Max Jack and Lucas had individual programs, as did the other pitchers on the high school team. And I've heard it said that he's doing the same. This doesn't surprise me. But, you know, just a wonderful human being. It's hard to describe. And he really cares about players. He really cares. He wants them to do well. And, you know, it's the kind of guy you want in your corner. You know, he's there for you. And that's pretty much what I can say about him. I don't have enough positive to tell you about Ethan Katz. He's a tremendous individual.
Rick, thanks so much for your time this morning. Good luck the rest of the season. Enjoy the pride that you have and all Chicago has in your son.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Take care. Thanks. Rick Giolito, the father of the White Sox ace, Lucas Giolito, kind enough to call us early in the morning out there in California. Bruce, we will wrap things up. We come back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, there's a freedom involved too. Just honestly, when you have a GM that really permits you to do your job and really, really does. I've always talked to you about giving freedom to the players. The more freedom given, the greater respect and discipline return. The same thing holds true from front office down to the field level, too. When you feel that freedom to do your job, where there's not going to be constant interference or noise coming from top to bottom after a game, or even prior to a game, it makes it a lot more fun. And I think with that, you can have an openness about it that I think our players have already responded to it. I know our coaching staff, I'm just sitting in on meetings with these guys who never spoke or are speaking now. And that's a perfect indicator of the freedom that they're feeling to be themselves. And that's when you're going to get the best or most out of all of these guys. And I think that's what's going on here right now.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. David Haw with Bruce Levine here for a final segment here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Joe Maddon on Friday with Lawrence Holmes. They are familiar. They have a good rapport. And Bruce, Joe has to know when he talks about operating without interference, when he talks about operating without any noise and the freedom that that allows him, he has to know how those words will be interpreted back in Chicago where he worked for the last couple seasons. Maybe under some different circumstances.
You know, he doesn't give a blank. He just doesn't. He is free to express himself. He was always a gentleman here, always complimentary of the Cubs, the people he worked for, appreciative of the great teams he had to put out there. But right now he's saying, I'm enjoying this new freedom I have of not having the metrics department on me night and day, not having multiple meetings after games that we won and lost. Just more of a baseball situation. David, we have people to thank, including Mr. Rick Giolito, the father of Lucas. Ryan Dempster came on from Marquee Sports Network, did a great job as well. Of course, Sean Anderson, terrific job producing the show. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB. Bruce Levine, I write on The Score every day at 670thescore.com. Cubs and White Sox. David, have a great week.
Thanks, Bruce. And The Score will have Jake Arrieta's return to Wrigley Field as a Cub here. The pregame starts at 12. 7:45. Rosenblum and Mark Grody. Up until then, Saturday, Suckage. And remember, FanDuel customers, bottom line, midnight mobile registration. You want to get that done today. Thanks, Bruce. Have a great week. A lot of baseball ahead. We'll have a lot to talk about next week. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary, and with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck-on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.